Jamal, you know what this
means? Build a...
I will build Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. I will build a Mishkan in my heart. Lahadar Kevoidei, to Hashem. Uba Mishkan Mizbeach Asim. And in the Mishkan, in my heart, I will place a Mizbeach. How's it going? The Karnei Hoidei. Also for the honor of Hashem. Okay, so I built a Mishkan in my heart, and I placed a Mizbeach in that Mishkan. And then, Ulener Tamid, because there's supposed to be a fire on the Mizbeach always, Ulener Tamid Ekachli Es Esha Akeda. I'm going to take the fire from the Akeda, this week's Parsha, and I will use that as the fire on the Mizbeach. And here comes the fun part. Ulekarbon, and the carbon on the Mizbeach, the carbon akriv lo what? It's nafshi. And I will be makriv my soul on the as a carbon. You comfortable with that, Netano? You mean makriv your soul on the Mizbeach? What does it mean?
You should be as willing to put yourself on the Akeda as Yitzchak was.
But like, but what's the plan here? Like, we're singing this song, that we're doing something in our hearts. What are we doing exactly?
We're giving ourselves over to the Burnish Hall. What do you mean? Right.
So we're are we dying?
No.
Rather,
we're living.
Go ahead.
We're living. I'll get us a shaman. Or this, and then a
okay, so ulekarbon akriv lo es nafshi. We don't mean to sacrifice. We mean that we're going to bring our nefesh closer. Okay, we're going to live al kiddush Hashem. And what's going to be the fire that fuels that? No. The akeda. Ulener tamid ekach li es eish. Akeda. Right. So that means that there's something about the Akedah that fuels our ability to pull ourselves close to Hashem. It's interesting. Something to think about.
Because, you know, when Yitzchak was there, right, he couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael because he was a diverse producer at that point. So if your mom is the ace of the Akedah is led to you, then your mom is Kadosh.
I'm not sure that follows.
Why not?
Because in my heart, I'm taking the Eish of the Akeda.
Right,
this is something I'm doing in my heart. In other words, it's a realization that I'm doing. Okay, but it doesn't mean that I can't be in chutzlaret.
Right, it's not planning, but something like that. Maybe.
Not that I want to be in chutzlaret,
right.
But
maybe something like that. Maybe. No.
Thank you so much, Penny. What? Amen.
Yeah. Just not there right now. Huh? That's what happened
to Nerd Salvage. Thanks. A couple of weeks ago, a guy came over to me, a friend of mine, and he said, I'm going on a diet, and I want to tell you about it. Like, why do you want to tell me? Okay, fine, but why do you want to tell me about it? Because they say that when you take something upon yourself, you should tell people, because it's like, it keeps you there. He was doing an intermittent fasting diet, which is the latest cool thing. Okay? So, I was thinking about that a lot of times, especially nowadays, we're very into the drum rolls. You know, like, we start, you know, someone starts Daf Yomi, drum roll, big announcement, I'm doing Daf Yomi, you know? I wasn't talking about you.
Oh,
okay. But there is that element, right? You know, like when we do something, sometimes we do like the big rollout, you know? the major announcement. Like when you're in a yeshiva or a shul, there's different ways, I'm sure you see it in your shul also, there's different ways you roll out a seder or a shir. Sometimes the person giving the shir will get like 2-3 guys together, start like a chill, and then that will grow and other people will hear about it and people will like it and it grows and it becomes a big deal. Sometimes you put up signs, you talk to 1,000 people and that first shir is like packed. Coming a half a year later, or even 2 weeks later, it looks a little different, but that first night is amazing, right? So I want to talk about the other side of this coin. This is really important. I want to talk about a trick that we could use in serving Hashem, in battling the Yetzer Hara, that is not so well known. It's super powerful. And it goes like this. Hashem tells Avram, take your son and be makriv him on the Mizbeach. Avram goes to Yitzchak. How old is Yitzchak at this time?
37.
And he tells Yitzchak, what? What does he tell Yitzchak at that time? We're going on a trip.
For 3 days.
I don't know if he sold him the amount of time. Because he didn't know where he was going exactly. Asher Omer Eilecha.
To bring a korban?
We're going to bring a korban. We're going, let's go bring a korban Eilecha. So Yitzchak traveling. As Yitzchak is traveling, he notices something suspicious. What does he notice?
There's no animal.
So he says, Vayomer Yitzchak El Aviv. And this is very interesting. I don't have a pshat in this. You want to add to your list of questions? I don't have a pshat in this. It says, look at the Akedah. It says, Vayomer Yitzchak el Aviv. Vayomer, Avi. Vayomer, Hineni b'ni. It's like this, like, okay, why didn't it just say, Vayomer Yitzchak el Aviv? Hineni, like, he says, and Yitzchak said to his father, Father! It's kind of funny. And his father goes, yes, my son! And then you have the question. I think we need a pshat on that, okay? I don't have a pshat.
I think sort of strengthens the question. You can say Vayomer twice, and sort of like emphasizing the point.
Okay, but why here? Why now? What's the end? Unless I did think that Yitzchak was thinking, am I the carbon? I can't be the carbon. He's my father.
That's what I said.
You were thinking that also?
No,
like my father. Yes, my son. Okay, I'm glad we clarified that. Now, where's the animal?
Sorry, why not just an honest moment of intimacy between Avram and his son to ask him about what's going on?
But why here? Why now? It's not enough. We still need to know, like, why that exchange here and now? Okay, but anyway, that's a good side question. We'll work on that. But what does Yitzchak ask his father? Hine ha'eitz ve'ha'eitzim. Where is the sheep?
But why did he start off with that, though?
Okay.
Why didn't he just say, where's the ola? Just down. You
know? Okay, that's a good question. I have a thought about that, but let me follow through on my question here, okay? Even though what you're asking is valid. Okay? Where is the sheep? What does Avram answer? What? Is that it? Is that the whole answer?
No. Says, let's go and Hashem will...
If not, then you will be the sheep.
He didn't say that. Then.
That's basically what he says.
No.
He said it's here. Hashem is going to show us the sheep. Right.
Is he wrong?
No.
Huh?
He's with it.
That roundabout way.
Did Avram speak with Pirush Rashi?
No, he didn't. It's a trick question. Were you there?
Okay. Avram answered, Elokim yira loy haseh le'ola b'ni. And the way it goes is that there's a niggin there. In other words, the pashup shot was that Avram was saying, Elokim yira lo yaseh, Elokim yira lo yaseh le'ola b'ni. Hashem will show us the sheep for the oila, my son. But the deeper level was, Elokim yira lo yaseh le'ola b'ni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show us the sheep for the oila, it's my son. And that's the Rashi.
Right.
And that was included in what Avram was saying, right? So Avram was kind of saying a hint to Yitzchak. Now, by the way, if you know Rashi, you should know the answer to this. Did Yitzchak get the hint?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because it says, like, when we know.
That's exactly right. This man learns Rashi. Okay? Elokim yira lo yaseh lo'ayla b'ni vayelchu shneem yachdav. Says Rashi, even though Yitzchak understood that he was supposed to be the carbon, he still went b'leiv shalem with Avram. Question for you. Okay? We are not dealing with a man who had a hard time doing something that's uncomfortable. You know, today we have, in my share this week, this Tuesday, we had a whole share about not avoiding conflict. Right? Okay, do you think Avram was avoiding conflict?
No.
I think that would be...
You should never be the bearer of bad news, so that's why he said in an indirect manner.
You think? Yeah. Was it really such bad news?
It
was an Avaida. Maybe it was a Simcha. He was going to serve HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. It says in the Torah, don't kill.
Anyway, he was a bearer of bad news. So why didn't he just say it?
You want to lessen the blow. Pun intended.
Okay, so to me, that's a little bit... That bothers me a little bit.
The pun?
The pun is fine. It bothers me a little bit that Avram... Do you ever get a Rebbe or a parent or someone like this, or maybe you guys do it to each other also, where you ask for something and you get, we'll see? You ever get that, we'll see?
Yeah.
What does we'll see mean?
They don't want to tell you.
It means no. Right? I'm glad my kids haven't joined yet. Okay? It means no.
It means I hope you forget about it.
Right. Okay? So, don't you ever feel like... Seriously. Don't you ever feel like, if the answer is no, be a man, say no.
He doesn't want to be the bearer of bad news.
But he is the bearer of bad news.
Sometimes, but not to as big.
Okay. And Yitzchak understood it.
So humility, right. Why don't we just say you knew what you had to do?
What?
Why don't we say you knew what you had to do? He's a humble person. He doesn't want to
What does that do with humility? Yitzchak asked a question, give an answer.
Oh, wait, no, sorry.
Give an answer. Why didn't he sit down with his son and say, son, we have to have a conversation. I want to tell you something. You've been chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for an unbelievable task. Start preparing your mind for the madrega of being a carbon to Hashem. Like Rabbi Chanan. You know the story about Rabbi Chanan when they were killed in the war? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who had been in America and chose to go back to be with his Talmidim, was sitting with his Talmidim, and they knew that they were going to be massacred by the Nazis. And Rabbi Chanan sat with his Talmidim, and he told them that just like when someone brings a carbon, if he brings it with the wrong thought, he can make the carbon puzzle. Al achas kama v'kama, the carbon itself. And since we are about to be carbonis, let's purify our thoughts for the avoida of being carbonis to Hashem. Isn't that amazing? And they went and they were killed by the Nazis. And they were carbonis to Hashem. Wouldn't it be appropriate for Avram Avinu to sit down with Yitzchak and to talk about, like, shouldn't we talk about this? Isn't this something that we should have a conversation? I think I'm asking a valid question. Okay?
Maybe you can say, speaking of Avram's work for this.
Mean that he himself didn't realize?
Right.
It's hard to say that because Yitzchak understood it.
No, the Mahalach
could work, but I don't think in this
but
case.
Saying, like, he did mean Alakim Yerlo Asal Ola B'ni. I mean, that's what he meant. But the way he said it was, you know, Alakim Yerlo Asal Ola B'ni.
Okay, but I'm trying to understand the why of that.
I don't want to say this, but maybe why don't we say that Avram might have been holding there, but Yitzchak, you know, where Yitzchak holding, you didn't want to say something that would scare him off.
But Yitzchak understood it.
By thinking very nicely to it, he was able to understand it and accept it, but we don't know if he's holding.
Okay, so hold that thought. Hold that thought. We have to polish that a little bit. But I'm not rejecting that thought. Okay. I want to talk to you about another case that something was said that wasn't honest. Okay. Many years later, Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu showed up. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu it's time to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Moshe went to Paroi and told Paroi, please let us out of Mitzrayim. Is that what he said?
3 days.
No, he said.
What did you say?
They want a 3-day journey.
Right. Moshe Rabbeinu just asked Pari for 3 days. Was there ever an intention to just do 3 days? By the way, there is such a pshat, but the pashtus is not that way. Rav Dessler discusses in Michtam Elio in Chela Gimel and in Chela Gdalid that there was no such a plan. This was Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yadoya teida ki ger yiyaz aracha beretz lailem v'avodim v'inu oisim arba me'ez shana v'achar kein yetzu. Right? Hashem told Avram they will go out. So why, give me a second. Why did Moshe, through the command of Hashem, keep saying we're going to go out for 3 days? That was never the plan. Certainly that was not Hashem's plan. So give me a second. So what's the inyan over here? Rav Dessler says an incredible thing. Rav Dessler says like this. He says that you know that the Yetzirah has a way that he gets to us. Okay? That Yetzirah is, the Gemara in Shabbos, L'mashal, talks about it. And you've heard this Lashon. That is, Hayoyim Oimer Lecha Asei Kach, Ulemachar Oimer Lecha Asei Kach, Ad She'oimer Lecha Avoid Avoid Zara. Today, the Yetzirah says, do this. Tomorrow, he says, do this, until before you turn around, he's saying, go be Oved Avodah Zarah. And we all know this process. We do something that we shouldn't do, or we don't do something that we should do, and we are horrified, devastated. It's terrible, right? Devastating. And then what happens the next time? It's a little less devastating. And then we get used to it. And then there's the next step. It's always tricky like that, right? He pushes us little by little. Says Rav Dessler, that we could use that as well. Rav Dessler says that Moshe Rabbeinu was not saying we want to go for 3 days for Paro's sake. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying we want to go for 3 days for Klal Yisrael's sake. Because it's hard to leave home. And even if that home is miserable, and it was miserable, and it was horrifying to be in Mitzrayim, but leaving, if you know how the mind works, permanently leaving what you're familiar with is difficult. And Klal Yisrael were scared to leave. In fact, 80% of Klal Yisrael didn't want to leave and didn't end up leaving, as we know. 4/5 died in the Makkah of Choshech. So the Klal Yisrael that left were those that were courageous enough to leave. It took enormous courage. But to build that courage, we needed to say, well, let's go for 3 days. This is an amazing thing. And this is, Nima, this is, I think, what you were referring to, that, like, sometimes the way it works is like this, okay? If you really want to break it down to the way it works, is like this. If I would ask any of you, do you want to be a Talmud Chacham? So, of course, you would say yes. If I would say, do you want to learn with enormous hasmada for the rest of your life? You would say yes. So I would say, okay, so make an announcement. You're going to learn for the rest of your life with enormous hasmada. I'm not ready to do that. I'm not ready for that. What's going on? What's going on is like this. I'll give you another example. Like in Waterbury, there's a Google group where people sign up to make meals for people that had babies or that had surgery or they're going through a tough time or whatever, right? So imagine I went over to one of the women in town and I said, could you make dinner every Wednesday night for the next 10 years? Everyone would say no. But I'll tell you something. There are women in Waterbury that have been making dinner every week for other people for the last 10 years because they always sign up. What's going on? What's going on is that we are not two-dimensional, simple people. We're very complex. And with everything that part of us wants, there's also a part of us that sometimes doesn't want. So do you want to be a Talmud Chacham?
No.
So you'll say yes. But most of you is saying yes. Some of you is saying no. Some of you is saying no. There's a part, there's a chelek, there's a dimension that's, one second, what is that gonna, Where do I have to sign on to that? Like, what does that demand from me? I'm not sure. It's too much achrayas. I'm not sure if I can do that. And there's a part of me that's like, no, there's nothing I want more than that. But there's another part that doesn't want. And that's the way it goes. This is why we talked about this, if you remember. We talked about this. This is why the Zman gets harder as it goes along, by the way. Because the first day of the Zman, you could learn with enormous asmada, because the part of you that wants is very strong, and it bullies the part of you that doesn't want to learn, and it says, please excuse my language, okay? Please excuse me, because I just want to make the point. The part of you that wants to learn tells the part of you that doesn't want to learn, shut up, get out of the way, move away, we're doing this. But then, the second day, that part of you that was told to get out of the way is not, you know, speaks up a little louder. And then the third day, that part, this is emes, this is going on inside of all of us. And when you reach a point in the Zman where it's like, oh, it's time for Seder, I can't, I have to study, you know, like that part of when that happens, what's going on is that the incessant push of the parts of me that don't want start to become heard. And that's something that we have to work with. We have this issue. Rav Dessler says, Yidden wanted to leave Mitzrayim, but they were also scared to leave Mitzrayim. It's hard to make a commitment. So therefore, Yidden said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, we're going to go for 3 days. You think they didn't realize it meant more than 3 days? They did realize. But it's easier for me to tell myself 3 days. When I went to Israel the first time, I was 19. I was in a yeshiva where you didn't go to Israel. You guys, most of you went to Israel right after high school. I was in a yeshiva that you didn't go to Israel until fourth year Beis Medrash. But there was stuff going on at home, and it wasn't healthy for me to stay home. I had to get out of New York. So when I was about 19, I decided to leave. My friends did not come with me. I went to Israel. I'm an emotional kid, and the fact that things were complicated at home didn't make it easier to leave home. It made it harder, which happens. Some of you can understand that. And I was leaving for a year, and it was a Shana Meuberes. It was two Adars that year, and I was leaving after Pesach with the intention that I was going to come home to visit my family the next Pesach. So I was leaving for 12 months. I remember landing in Israel. I remember my first night in Eretz Yisrael, thinking to myself, I can't do this for a year. And then I told myself, I'm doing it for tonight. Now, you think I thought I was going to get back on the plane the next day? Of course not. But one of the ways we deal with our Yetzirah sometimes is we say, okay, I'm doing it today. For today, I could do it. My brother, by the way, I remember the day of his wedding, he was terrified, shaking, crying. He was a basket case, okay? So my mother is like sitting with him, like she's trying to get this guy to walk down the aisle. So finally she says to him, do me a favor, do it for today. Just walk down, just for tonight. If it doesn't work out, just come back to me tomorrow. So my brother says, okay. And my brother just married off his daughter, by the way. You think he thought, like, the next day he was going to be like, okay, that was nice, take care. You think he thought that? Of course not. But did it work? Yes, it works. Sometimes it works for me to tell myself, for now. If I tell myself, I'm never speaking Lashon Hara again, forget it. But if I tell myself, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara tonight, oh, tomorrow you are? Don't talk to me about tomorrow. I'm talking about tonight. There's a way sometimes that we, do you understand that we play with ourselves? We play games with ourselves. And that is the pshat. Avraham Avinu knew, of course Yitzchak wants to listen to Hashem if Hashem says to be makrib yourself as a carbon. But you know, Yitzchak himself knew, what does a human being do when he thinks he's about to die? He runs. How do you know that Yitzchak was aware of that? That's exactly right. Because the Medrash says that Yitzchak told Avram to tie him up. So clearly he was afraid that he might react. Some people say he was afraid he would move his neck and make the carbon puzzle. Some say he was afraid he was going to hit his father.
Reflexively.
Yeah. He will hit his father because that's what you do when someone has a knife. Okay? So Yitzchak was afraid that there was, and Avram understood that there's like a lower part of Yitzchak that just doesn't want to die. So Avram said it in a way that that Yitzchak could fool himself. If he said, you are going to die, Yitzchak might instinctively say, like, actually, I'm getting out of here. But Hashem said, Avram said, Hashem will show us the carbon, my son. And Yitzchak is thinking to himself, I think he means me. But then that childish part of him was like, let's get out of here. He's like, yeah, he didn't say it. And he was able to bring himself to keep moving because, this is what you meant, right? Because he didn't hit himself with it. It is a massive yisoid in Avodas Hashem. Okay? You know, this happens sometimes. Have any of you guys stayed up the whole night to learn on a night that was not Shavuos night? Have you ever done that? Okay, so if you ever do that, you gotta stay up to learn the whole night. When you sit down and you say, okay, I'm gonna stay up the whole night, it's a little stressful. But if you say, if someone says, you staying up all night? You say, I don't know, I'm staying up now. Then another hour passes, and another hour passes. Before you turn around, it's 3:30 in the morning, you're like, it doesn't pay to go to sleep. So, but you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it helps to just say, I'm gonna do it for now. For today, that's what I'm doing. This is my plan for right now. I'm trying it. Without making, you know, like we have this temptation to make like these massive decisions. Take out an ad in the paper. This is my new, turning over a new leaf. Oh, calm down. This is what I'm doing today. Not that I'm not determined, but I know the Yetzer Hara, like Rav Volba has this mashal. He says that during one of the wars in Israel, he says the way that airplanes would be able to fly to Israel and land without getting caught in the enemy radar was that they would fly very, very, very low. And the radar was looking for planes up here, so they would fly down here, like literally like skimming the trees. And that's how they would get into Israel. That's where Volba writes this, and I don't know if he wrote it in Nalei Shur, said it in his shir. But he says a little bit the Yetzer Hara is like that. The Yetzer Hara is looking for us to make the big declarations up here. So we skim down here. You know, sometimes we don't want to trigger the radars. We don't want to say, oh, I'm going to be, that's it, I'm becoming this massive Talmud Chacham, I just learned day and night. Well, what are you doing by lunch? I'm going to learn. You learn by lunch? Well, that's what I'm doing today. Happens to be I did that yesterday. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. But I don't have to make the big declarations. And that could be a very, very valuable way to get around the Yetzer Hara. Now, you may say, what do you mean? I'm the kind of guy that the big statement works for me. If you're that guy, do that. This is one of the things about talking about the Yetzer Hara, Rabbi Isai. None of us have each other's Yetzer Hara. None of us have each other's Yetzer Tov. I like to think about fighting the Yetzer Hara like painting. When you paint, you have a palette, and you have different colors, and then when you want to paint something, you think to yourself, okay, which color should I use? So when you have to make a decision, you want to take on a new project, you want to fight the Yetzer Hara, you want to stop doing something that you've been doing, you want to start doing something that you haven't been doing, you got to know, which color should I take? Maybe the right thing to do is to get my friends together and say, guys, let's do this together. We're making an announcement. We're doing this. Maybe the right thing to do is to try it for today. Sometimes we try this way of dealing with the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes we gather together everyone to start the shir with a big drum roll, and sometimes that's the right way to do it. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, and the right way to do it is to grab a friend and say, come, let's learn a little bit. There's different ways of doing it. Sometimes this works, sometimes that works. My point right now is just to point out to you that the Yetzer Hara plays this game with us. The Yetzer Hara does that all the time. Go, you know, miss Night Seder. Nobody ever missed Night Seder, by the way, and said, I'm missing Night Seder tonight and for every other night for the rest of this month. I'm done. Nobody does that. People just say, I'm just missing for tonight. You don't go to Night Seder? No, I go. I'm just not going tonight. That's what the Yetzer Hara does. He's clever like that. I'm just saying you, that's what I wrote in the title of the shir. Let's beat him at his own game. We could tell him, we're going to Night Seder. What, you go to Night Seder every night? No. You, Yetzer Hara, you always say we should just miss tonight. I'm saying we should just go tonight. You know what I mean? Like, we could play that. It takes two. We could play that game too. Okay, I'm not speaking. There's a certain language I don't want to use anymore. Well, you think you became this big tzaddik? Not at all. I'm just doing it for today. Okay, stays under the radar. And that's a powerful way that we learn from the Akedah, a powerful way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's something to go into Shabbos with, to think about. All right, let's... anything specific? Yeah, but let me first think of a song.
The Yetzer Hara song.
What's the Yetzer Hara song? Is that Kaney? Interesting, no?
Very interesting.
Sorry that we don't spend the Shabbos together.
A few weeks. As long as I'm
maybe
next
one. What? No, next week's not
right. Next week, I'm going to Israel on Motor Shabbos.
Oh, wow.
I'm gone for a week and a half.
Nice. You have to know when to do it. 100%. Shem Dvei Ki.